This message is a ministry of North River Church. Visit us online at gonorthriver.org.
I want to invite you to go ahead and grab your Bibles this morning and join me in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and as you're making your way there this morning, I want to let you know that there are two types of people in the room this morning. You know, this can always go a lot of different ways. Two types of people in the room this morning. One type of person in the room this morning, you love people. You're a people person. Like, you want to be around people. You gain your energy from people. You are perfectly fine when we have the greeting time of finding someone that you can shake their hand. You're a people person. You're the person that when you go to Walmart, you talk to the person in front of you and behind you in line. You're pushing your cart out to your car. Hello, how you doing? How you doing? Good to see you today. How are you? There are other people here this morning. You're not a people person. In fact, life for you would be perfectly fine if you woke up in the morning and you went to bed at night and you never saw anyone all day long. You know who you are. Coming to church for you is difficult because you know that there are going to be people like the first person I talked about. And they want to shake your hand when you walk in the door. They want to hug you, and you're thinking, I don't like people. In fact, I'm convinced that Walmart created a service just for you, where you get to shop online for your groceries, and you get to drive and pick them up. And if you don't want to talk to the person that helps load them in your car, you don't have to. Now, here's what's interesting, because when we talked this morning about God's people being a priority, when Pastor Scott was talking earlier about small groups and life groups being a priority in the life of our church, for the first type of person, you get absolutely excited about that. I mean, 2 hours in a group of people, and you think life could not get much better. The second type of person thinks, I'm not going. I don't care how good it is. Jesus can go, and I'm not going to be there. But I want to encourage you this morning with a text, Acts chapter 2, as we look at why God's people should be a priority for all of us in this coming year. Last week, we talked about God's Word being a priority. If you happen to miss that, you can go on iTunes and check that out, or our church website. Love for you to catch up on that. But what I want to do this morning is I want to read Acts chapter 2. Now, you know and I know, if you're looking at it, there are 47 verses. We got a long way to go, and as Burt Reynolds said, a short time to get there. So I want you to listen fast. I'll try to read fast. And we're going to focus in on verses 42 through 47. So listen to what's going on in Acts chapter 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they, that's all the disciples, were all together in one place. Now at this point in time, Jesus had already raised from the dead. Jesus had given his commission to his disciples, and Jesus had ascended to the Father. So he's no longer here, and he's telling them, it's about to get very, very interesting. Suddenly, verse 2, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each one of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and all the parts of Libya beyond, belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, may I say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. He has poured out on this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. I'm going to just make a quick comment. That's a good church service. Peter stands up and proclaims the gospel of who Jesus is and what he's done, that he is the Son of God who has come into the world to save people from their sins. And not only did he die on the cross to save them from their sins, but he raised from the dead, securing salvation for all who would believe in him. Peter preaches that message to this group of gathered people, and 3,000 of them come to faith in Jesus Christ. Here's the question. Now what? What do you do when 3,000 people get saved at a church in one day? Let's just throw out building a building. How do you plan for that? How do you structure yourselves in such a way to say, listen, we're going to need to add a couple of youth pastors, 3,000 people, right? I mean, I don't know how we're going to fix enough coffee for all these people in the back. Who's getting donuts next week? Who wants to volunteer? What do you do with that? How do you plan for that? How do you take 3,000 people who come to faith in Christ in a single day, and how do you disciple them and see them come to a growing knowledge and understanding of who Jesus is and what he's called them to do? Verse 42 through 47 gives us a very simple, in my mind, and yet so difficult to see played out in the life of the church. Verse 42, it says, "And they, which had to have been those 3,000 souls who had trusted in Jesus Christ for their salvation, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." See, we live in a culture that doesn't promote community very often. In fact, just think about this. It's incredibly possible for you to go home, to pull in your garage, shut the door behind you, and not have to interact with anyone beside you. I read a book this past week that was describing how life in this country has changed, and many of you will remember life not like it is today. You'll remember life when everyone had a front porch. I know they're called lanais here, but they're really porches, can we be honest? Everyone had a front porch, and you spent time on the front porch, and you had neighborhood wiffle ball in the front yard, and all the kids gathered in one location, and people talked to one another. I don't know if you know this or not, but back in the late 50s, the average size house in the United States of America was less than 1,400 square feet. The average house in the United States of America today is, guess how big? 2,700 square feet. Guess how big the front porches are today? Most don't have front porches. Because we've moved our lives, instead of interacting with one another, our houses have gotten bigger, and so we can go in to our own castle and we can be there and no one disturbs us. You know, that same mentality has crept into the church as well. You can come and not really have to deal with anybody else. In fact, you can come and walk in the door, and we've talked about this before. You can come and you can walk in the door and you can pretend that your life is great. And nobody knows any different. The biggest lie on Sunday morning is when most people walk in the door and someone says, "Hey, how you doing?" And you say, "Fine." You're lying coming into church. You're not fine. It was a terrible week. I mean, you got to remember, you had family come for Christmas a couple of weeks ago, and some of you are still recovering from that. Some of you are still wondering, I had to be adopted. There is no way in the world those people, we can't be related. But here's what we see going on in the early church. They were together. They were meeting together daily. They were meeting in homes consistently. Community for the early church was not something that they could choose to be involved in or not. In fact, community in the early church was the DNA of what the church was all about. And as a result, look at the impact that they made in the community in which they were. I want to argue this morning that community is something that we desperately need in our lives as believers. God's people should be a priority in our lives. Now, here's what I want you to look at. I want you to look first at community or God's people centered around God's word. Look at verse 42. They devoted themselves. Have you ever been devoted to something? If you made a New Year's resolution to lose weight, the gym in the last week, devoted to that? Never been, I mean, I'm talking about seriously devoted to something. Where you rearranged your life around being able to do whatever that was. The early church, these believers, this 3,000 that were saved in one single day, the Bible says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. We talked last week about God's word being a priority in our lives. God's word was a priority in these believers' lives. They devoted themselves to gathering together, whether it was in a corporate setting like this or whether it was in homes, to study God's word. So I want to just say to you this morning, us gathering on Sunday mornings is not something, in my mind, that should be optional for us as believers. You say, "Well, Michael, you're the pastor. You're supposed to say that, right?" No, for the very lifeblood of who we are as followers of Jesus, our desire should be to gather together on a weekly basis and worship the Lord and study His Word. One of the things that we're seeing trending in churches is that people are a lot less consistent than they used to be. In fact, there's a whole group of research of people that are looking and saying, you know, we used to measure things within the church by how many people show up. And they're looking at that model and going, but people aren't showing up as much as they used to. So are we being less effective as a church? Because less people are showing up consistently. I think we're asking the wrong question. The question should be for us as believers to own the reality that gathering together as the body of Christ, worshiping together and studying God's word together should be for us as Christians a non-negotiable in our lives. The question should not be, are we going to go to church? The question should be, how can I not go to church? How can I not go and gather with God's people? Sing worship to the Lord. Hear His word as it's preached. Participate in the life of the body of Christ. Listen, I know and you know, if it's not a priority, it's not going to be something that gets done. Listen, I remember growing up, my parents never gave me an option of whether we're going to church or not. We didn't wake up on Sunday morning and my dad look at me and say, you know, you tired this morning, bud? We can just stay home. I got up. I got dressed. I ate waffles because it was Sunday. And we went to church. Just pause for a second and ask yourself this question if you're a parent or a grandparent here this morning. If you say to your kids that church is important, and yet by the way that you demonstrate its importance in your lives, they look and say, well, it's only 50% important because we only go two Sundays a month. What does that communicate to your kids? And pause for a second and ask this. If we go twice a month, what are my kids going to do when they're adults? They may go once a month or once every 2 months. See, the reality is God's people here believed that gathering together was foundational to their growth and their relationship with Jesus Christ. It was foundational to making the impact in the community that God had called them in. They devoted themselves to gathering together, centered around God's word. I want to make you a promise. As your pastor, every Sunday, you don't have to ask the question, are we going to open God's word and study it? It's not going to be a question. Every single week when we gather together, we're going to open the word and we're going to look at what God has done in the world. We're going to look and see how that applies in our lives, and we're going to walk away from this place being fed by the only thing that can bring lasting nourishment in our lives as believers. I want to encourage you as well. Not only did they gather in a corporate setting as they went to the temple and gathered and spent time in God's word, but they also gathered in homes together. They moved from rows, as it were, looking at one guy, to circles, being able to look everyone eye to eye and study God's word together. We have some incredible life group leaders. And Scott Johnson. Love you, brother. I'm sorry. John Doe, is that who it was? We've got some incredible life group leaders who are faithful week in and week out to prepare to open God's word and to study it together, to apply it to our lives. I want to encourage you, if you are not plugged in to a life group, this is a perfect opportunity at the beginning of a new year to jump in with both feet. You may be here this morning and you say, but Michael, my schedule's crazy. Whose isn't? Say, Michael, my kids are crazy. We know. We hear them back there every Sunday. But listen, we have opportunities for you to plug in to our life groups. Those with childcare, those without childcare, those for just ladies, those for just men. We've got opportunities for you to jump in and to get connected, to build relationships with other people, to center your life around God's word. We've got opportunities for you to jump in, and one that I'll just mention because I'm involved with it and we're hosting it at our house is Financial Peace University. So if you're getting your credit card bills in and you're looking and going, I really messed up this year, I need some help. I don't know what to do. We're hosting Financial Peace University start January the 22nd, that Sunday. It'll last for 9 weeks. Give us 9 weeks. Can you give me 9 weeks? Actually, it'll be Matt Berg who's facilitating the class. Give him 9 weeks. And learn what God has to say about handling your money in His ways. But church, there's an opportunity for you to jump in. If you're new here to North River Church, this is your first Sunday, and you're thinking, I just came to see what was going on, and you're telling me I'm supposed to jump into a life group? I don't know anybody. We're all a little bit crazy. I just want to be upfront with you about that. But there's no better way for you to get to know people than plugging into a life group, building relationships. There's an opportunity for you to jump in centered on God's word. I want you to notice the second thing that the scripture tells us. Not only was the community centered around God's word, but it was centered around God's blessings. It said that they fellowshiped together, that they broke bread together. They spent time in prayer together. They were seeing people being saved. They were seeing wonders and signs being done. It says in verse 44, and all who believed were together, and they had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day they were attending the temple together, and they were breaking bread in their homes, and they received their food with glad and generous hearts. This community, these believers, were centered not only around God's word, but they were also centered around God's blessings. We don't think about this a whole lot, but do you realize the fact that you get to go home and eat lunch or go out and eat lunch today is an incredible blessing from the Lord? The fact that you have food in your pantry, food in your refrigerator, is a blessing from the Lord, and these believers were gathering together around the table in homes, around God's blessings that He's provided for them, and they were enjoying fellowship together. You read that and you say, Michael, you mean people were selling things and giving money to the poor that were in need? They were. Because they realized that life is not about accumulation of stuff. Life is about being a vessel for God to use to make an impact for His glory. And people are looking and saying, you know, I really don't need that Ferrari Camel I have. I could sell that. And there's a person here who's not going to be able to eat, and I can invite them over and I can feed them today. They were centered around God's word, studying it together in a corporate and then in a private setting. But not only that, they were centered around God's blessings. They were enjoying fellowship together as believers. Can I tell you something? There is no greater opportunity for you to fellowship with other believers than sitting around a table, eating and spending time in God's word. If you're here this morning and you haven't experienced that, can I tell you, there's nothing better than that. There's a group I meet with on Friday morning, 6 o'clock. And we spend time studying God's word together. We enjoy fellowship with one another. We enjoy eating decent food together. But you have that opportunity as well in life groups to gather together. These life group leaders and these hosts prepare for you on the front end. There's nothing more intimate than sitting around a table with fellow believers and sharing what's going on in your life and spending time listening to God's word as it's being taught. That's what these believers did. And then finally, this community was centered around God's mission. We're going to be able to talk about this a little bit more next week as we look at a message entitled Making God's Mission a Priority in Our Lives. But these believers, not only were they gathered around the Word, not only were they gathered around the table, but they were gathered around one mission. It's the mission that Jesus had left them with in Acts chapter 1. It was the mission of making disciples of all nations, of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and seeing people come to faith in Him. That's what these believers were focused on. You know how we know they were focused on that? Because the end of verse 47. The Lord added to their number. What's the next phrase? Day by day. Those who were being saved. Just imagine that. Imagine that day by day, as we as a church family commit to live in community with one another, we make this gathering together once a week a priority in our lives. We make gathering in smaller groups, in life groups, a priority in our lives. We live out the mission that God has entrusted to us, and we begin to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ day by day. Imagine what would happen if God's people were a priority in your life in 2017. Imagine the growth that you personally would experience. Imagine the growth that your family would experience. Imagine the growth that this church would experience. Imagine the potential impact of lives of thousands of people in this community that we call home. Imagine what would happen if God's people were a priority for you this year. I want to ask you if you'd bow your heads with me this morning. And worship team's going to make their way back up, and I want to give you an opportunity this morning to respond to the Lord and His Word. You may be here this morning, and for you, the reality is that as you heard the scripture read before we even got to the meat of the text that we talked about, you heard very clearly this morning Peter's message to those that were gathered on the day of Pentecost, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world, that He lived a sinless life, that He took your sin and He took my sin to the cross, and He paid the debt that we owed, and He was raised from the dead, securing for us salvation possible through Him. Maybe for you this morning, the talk about community and God's people being important begins with the truth that you've never trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation. The beginning step for you this morning, if that's you, is as Peter and the other apostles proclaim, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn from your sin. Place your faith in what He accomplished for you on the cross. Receive the gift of salvation that He offers to you this morning and join the family of God. If that's the step that you need to take, I want to encourage you at the end of our service, if you'd find me at the back, I'd love to share with you what that looks like. Put you in touch with someone who can walk with you through that process. If you're here this morning and you're a believer, you're a follower of Jesus, you've received the salvation that He offers, I just ask you a simple question this morning. Are God's people a priority for you? Is gathering around God's Word, around the table, and around His mission, is that a priority for you this year? Maybe the step you need to take is you need to commit to North River Church. You need to join this group of believers here. Lock arms with us as we seek to make an impact in this world for the name of Christ. You want to gather with us and be a part of us. And if that's you this morning, I want to encourage you next Sunday at the end of our service to come to the church office right down the road to be a part of the Discover North River class. If you want to do that, I'd encourage you, you can go on our website and fill out a form there. You can sign up just by filling out a connection card this morning and checking Discover North River. Maybe this morning you as a family need to make it a priority this year, God's people, as we gather weekly, it's not going to be an option. It's going to be a priority for us. It's going to be a priority for our kids as we gather together, week in and week out. Maybe you need to take that step of joining a life group, of gathering with other believers at some point through the week, discussing God's word, spending time in fellowship together. That's the step that you need to take. And if that's you, I want to encourage you. At the end of the service, you have an opportunity at the Next Steps table before you head out to sign up. I can already hear the thoughts running through your head. I just don't know. It's going to be awkward. And I tell you, there's no greater opportunity for you in 2017 to grow as a believer and grow to know other believers than through life groups at North River Church. Take that step. Father, we come to you. We ask you this morning if you would use this moments that are up ahead for us to be real before you. Father, for those that may not know you as Lord and Savior, that they would receive salvation today that's offered through Jesus. Lord, for those that need to make the commitment that being here and being consistent and gathering with God's people is going to be a priority, would you give them the courage to say it, to live it? Father, would you give us the strength to take that step of plugging into a life group this spring, joining in, gathering together. Father, may your people be a priority for us this year. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand and sing this morning. You respond to the Lord as he leads.